Okay, so I talked about in the recent past, I was going to reveal something, and I hesitate to call it a secret because I hate it's kind of that's kind of a marketing gimmick thing. But since this is I'm not selling anything here, you shouldn't be concerned with the with any type of gimmicky approach. But I think that this is an extremely important idea or concept to really, really embrace. And those who embrace it, I think, will do quite well. Now, irrespective of what type of investor you are, and maybe some of you are active traders and so forth, there's always a place for different strategies, right? If you are a conservative investor and you don't do a whole lot of active management, you maybe make three or four changes to your portfolio every quarter. So you're basically making doing one thing per month, right? Irrespective of that, you should always have different strategies that are available to you, because there's going to be different times in the market that could last several months, if not 1 or 2 years, that will be more conducive to other strategies, right? But, you know, so what I'm saying is that I'm not saying to abandon your primary strategy, but what I'm saying is you want to have some leeway for a small part of your portfolio to take advantage of some things, if you can, right? And I mention this because the so-called secret that I'm going to talk about, it kind of relates to conservative investors who may be not so active, okay? But they can take advantage of this secret as well, okay? Everyone can, really. But even if you think you can't, you should reserve some room in your portfolio for this. So what am I talking about? Here's the deal, folks. The easiest way, and it's not easy and it's not guaranteed, but the easiest way, I think, to do well in the investment world is to find a few stocks, not a whole lot, find a few and stick with them, okay? Stick with them. This is one reason why on our Intelligent Investor Recommended list, you'll note that we kind of stick with the stocks for a while. We don't go, I mean, listen, that list is comprised based upon many things that I'm looking for. I don't put like the stocks I think are going to be best performing on that list, right? And, you know, I mean, hell, there's many stocks that you know, I could have put on that list that I thought would do very well, and they have done very well, right? And the reason why is because, first of all, I want to stay away from stocks that are manipulated, right? Like Netflix or Apple, okay? I mean, you know, this or Amazon. They're all three great companies, and they've done very well, and they'll continue to do well. But I don't want to put those on the list because I don't think it's appropriate for a monthly publication, right? When I'm trying, it's broad monthly publication. You know, I know there's a variety of subscribers there. Some could handle those securities just discussed monthly. Many others could not. And when Netflix is down 40 or 50 or 60 points in one day, or Amazon, right, in one day, you know, I don't want to, you know, people are going to start worrying. They're going to email us, oh my God, what's going on? This and this and this, right? Because these stocks are manipulated by the media. Those are media stocks. Complete manipulation. There's a lot of other ones as well, okay? But here's the point. And this also, especially if you are a novice investor, you really need to find a small number of stocks, maybe one, two, three, four, OK? okay? And focus on those stocks, safe stocks, and just learn those stocks over time. Become very familiar with those stocks. Understand what's going on with the company. Understand how the stock responds to earnings, right? How the earnings come out. Understand how the stock responds to strength or weakness in the overall stock market. Understand how the stock responds to events. And over time, once you develop that understanding, you will be able to really do well in that stock. You'll be doing all kinds of things. You'll be actively managing it. You'll be trading it. You'll be writing covered calls on it because you will know that stock and you'll understand how the price dynamics of that stock respond to everything that happens. Okay? And it's best to use conservative companies, right? Because in the worst of cases, if you're wrong, you're just kind of stuck holding that company, waiting for it to rebound. So what would be some examples of these type of companies to do that with? Well, they would be obviously blue chip companies, right? Johnson & Johnson, right? Procter & Gamble, AT&T, although I'm not a huge fan of AT&T, but it does serve a good purpose. You know, the nice dividend and kind of has a monopoly status. But, you know, companies like that, right? Companies like that. Now, many people would say, well, IBM's a blue chip. Yeah, it is. And it did very well for a number of years. It's not been doing well for a while now. But that's, you know, IBM is a blue chip, but it's in the wrong sector, right? Notice the two sectors I talked about were consumer staples and telecom, right? So you want to get the sector right, first of all. I mean, consumer discretionary, you can find some good blue chips there. I certainly wouldn't put any of the softline retailers there, but I would, you know, the hard line, like maybe Home Depot, Lowe's, that type of thing. But so, you know, consumer staples, that's a good area, right, for that type of thing. Now, as you become a little more advanced using that strategy, you should be able to expand the number of stocks because there's going to be periods when the stock that you are focused on or the stocks that you're focused on are in the dumps or they're not doing anything, right? Based upon where we are in the economic cycle. So that you want to find, you know, a handful of stocks that are from different sectors, okay? So this is one approach. This is one approach that I think everyone should try. And, you know, if you've been following the same stock for 10 years, you're going to know what's going on, right? And I suggest that you stick with this approach with blue chip names, okay? And what that means, of course, is that, you know, your upside's going to be limited, but you're also limiting your downside. It's a very conservative strategy, but it's taking advantage of, I mean, when people talk about conservative strategies, this, you know, they basically say, oh, we'll buy a diversified portfolio and hold on to it. No. Why not have some conservative stocks in your portfolio and you actively manage them? And actually, this is Dividend Gems for the most part, right? This is what we do in Dividend Gems. Most of those stocks are, well, I don't know about most, but there's a good number of blue chips on that list, right? There's a good number of blue chips, and most of them are very solid. There's only a few stocks on there that are in sectors that are very cyclical, okay? But, so that's kind of a thing that you should try to do. And once again, it's best to stick with the big names. And the reason why I say that is because if you're going to select some stocks to follow over time, we don't know where, let's say, Netflix is going to be in 10 years. Will they be around still? Will they be, you know, will it be a company that exists? Who knows? I mean, I think it's going to be. I think Netflix is going to be quite successful. But we don't know, right? But we do know the chances are much higher for Johnson & Johnson, right? For Dow Chemical, right? For Procter & Gamble. I'm not going to say AT&T, although I do think so, but because what people don't realize, almost nobody understands this, knows this, but AT&T actually was very close to filing for bankruptcy back about 12 years ago, right? People don't know that. And what happened was SBC Communications, which was basically the main telecom company of Texas, headquartered in San Antonio. I don't know that they did any telecom anywhere else, but SBC, they actually bought AT&T. See, AT&T was drowning in debt. Their AT&T wireless was, I think the last I recall, I think they had about 20-some billion in debt from AT&T wireless alone, and that was huge at the time. You keep in mind, this was after the telecom blow-up, right, which occurred during the deflation of the dot-com bubble. The whole telecom industry blew up. But anyway, SBC bought them, and they resumed the AT&T name, but it was really a buyout by SBC. It wasn't a merger. And they kept the AT&T name just because of the reach, the nationwide reach. Anyway, that's a whole other story. There's a lot behind that. But the point is that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of AT&T, but it does serve a purpose, okay? It serves a purpose, you see. And it is pretty stable, right? Because there's really not much competition. So, you know, in 10 years, will Johnson & Johnson be around? Chances are pretty damn high. Procter & Gamble, yeah, chances are pretty damn high, right? Disney, chances are pretty damn high. Nike, chances are pretty damn high. I think you can figure out on your own, right? McDonald's, chances are pretty damn high, right? So I think you can figure out on your own what those companies would be, what those stocks would be that you should focus on, okay? And never underestimate the overall ability to generate success with that approach. Just from trading AT&T alone, those of you who have been in the Intelligent Investor, who have used our trading guidance for AT&T, you should be making a lot of money if you've been in it for, you know, say 2 years or more, because we have consistently nailed that trading guidance, and it's been pretty easy, right? And this, you know, the stocks don't stay in that trading range forever, right? So when that trading range is no longer there or we're unsure, you'll want to move on to some other stock, you see. So, and what that does, basically, it lowers your risk, not only because you're more familiar with what goes on with the company, and you can respond and get more accurate results based upon your familiarity with how the stock responds to news, earnings, everything, but also by managing that stock over a multi-year period, you're gradually lowering your cost basis, you see, so that eventually the cost basis in that stock is going to be zero. You'll have a zero cost basis, right? You see, that's the thing. This is why these people that jump around from, oh, this stock, okay, this stock's hot, now I'm going to trade this, and this stock, and this stock, and they jump around from stock to stock to stock. They're just speculating. They're basically momentum. They're trading momentum. And, I mean, that's just a gambling game. Unless you are really, really, really experienced, and you have an understanding of the fundamentals of these companies and know what's going on. But virtually nobody that does that is in that category. They're all short-term momentum traders. Okay, you don't want to be in that boat. Okay. So that's kind of, I guess, if there is any secret to investing, I would say, other than staying away from the media, this would be it. And of course, staying away from the media, I haven't made that a secret. That's I've continued to pound that rule into everyone's head. And of course, most people still don't get it. But hopefully, those of you who follow me, you get it. All right?